Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete are joined by Nick Alberga. Buy low and sell high candidates. What to do with Bobrovsky? When will Phil Kessel kick it into gear? DFS plays, best bets, value picks. It's the Tuesday program.
What's going on, everybody? Tuesday morning here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen and Reese talking pucks and 10 games on the docket for Tuesday night. And a little bit more of an interesting slate as opposed to Monday, Rob, where a lot of the favorites came through.
Agreed, Pete. And a lot more value on the slate tonight for our good gambling friends out there. Also on the injury front, some good news for the Maple Leafs. It looks like Mitch Marner set to return to the lineup this week. Won't play Tuesday versus the Flyers, but could suit up anytime after Wednesday.
This is good news, though. We want to see this Maple Leafs top power play unit in order. We want to see the top six forward group solidified so that we can finally look at this group and say, hey, Kasperi Kapanen is the guy to own for the rest of the season, or Mikhaev, or Zach Hyman, or whoever,
exactly.
However it slices and dices from here on out.
Also, a couple other notes. Patrice Bergeron for the Boston Bruins. Still a little bit murky what's going on there. I think as good as they're playing, though, you know, fantasy owners, it might not be a great situation for you because what's the rush to bring a player like that back to the lineup?
Yeah, and we're going to have Nick Alberga on the show today and talk maybe some sell-high candidates. I think maybe David Krejci is one of them. Mm-hmm. He's out of this world right now. But, of course, once Bergeron comes back, maybe value a little diminished. A couple other injury notes. One that really excited me after we talked so much Avalanche on Monday, Gabriel Landeskog could return, and I quote, on Wednesday against the Leafs. So who knows? Maybe second of back-to-back, maybe a little Marner Landeskog action.
And it's a very similar situation with the Colorado Avalanche depth forwards right now, because I know in your latest ranks, Pete, the Avs, for the first time all season, had six players in the top 100 list, which is really only the elite of the elite teams get that accomplishment. So we'll have to see, too, there. How are they going to break down the lines? Are they going to reunite the top trio? Does that mean Burakovsky and Donskoy lose value? It should be interesting.
Yeah, there are not many teams that have six, and I can't remember the last time the Avalanche have had six, even dating back over the past decade or so. Their offense is loaded. They're getting healthy at the right time. And speaking of, you know, the Capitals, who might have six, last I checked, Backstrom might come back, right, on Tuesday.
Looks like a good time for fantasy owners. Everybody getting healthy. Hopefully it sticks that way. And now for more on everything, we'll bring in Nick Alberga from Sportsnet. He does all of their fantasy coverage. Also has his own podcast, Unmuzzled. Be sure to listen and subscribe to that. Nick, what's up, man?
Not much, boys. Thanks for having me. What's going on with you guys?
Not too much. We're excited to catch up with you because, you know, it's been a couple of weeks here and we're all into December and we got some surprising teams, some disappointments. I wanted to start with you with some sell-high candidates. I mean, some names that come to mind are guys that you picked up off the waiver wire, like maybe a Donskoy, especially with the injury implications. There's Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and then maybe some bigger names as well. Who's your top, like, sell-high candidate right now entering the second leg of the season?
Yeah, certainly I think when you look at names of that ilk, I think anytime somebody comes out of sort of nowhere, you have to sort of put an asterisk beside it and say, well, you know what, this is not sort of a reality of what their careers have been thus far. So certainly, you know, those two guys you've mentioned and a J.G. Pageau, who I think is going to get dealt. You know, I like to compare it to like Ryan Dzingel last year and the fact that you're playing up the lineup, you need somebody to score on that team. And that's why J.G. Pageau is sort of a prime example of a guy who, you know, is having your prototypical contract year and is really, really ripping it up. Now, how long is this going to last is the big-time question. I think you look at guys like David Perron with the St. Louis Blues, even an extent, you know, Andrei Svechnikov with the Carolina Hurricanes is a guy who's frequently in top 15 in terms of rankings in most Yahoo leagues right now. And I think he's going to cool off just a tad. He's certainly a guy who's coming off an up and down first year in the NHL and now really, really breaking out in the second year, especially in fantasy. So I think if you own a guy like Andrei Svechnikov, maybe you look at a sell high. Same goes for Cale Makar. Like, I get these are sexy names out there, but I think rookies do hit a wall and younger players do hit a wall at certain points of times in their season because they're not used to this long workload and this long type of season. So I think it'd be smart and an effective move in fantasy to address other needs on your roster to look at guys who are playing unbelievable right now and have, you know, probably the most value they'll have in fantasy hockey at this point in time in their careers. You got to look at those avenues, not to mention guys like Ryan Getzlaf and, and Tom Wilson's another guy that comes to mind too.
I agree with you, Nick. It's this time of year where you need to start going with the more safe options in fantasy, gear up for the playoff run. Turning the page, though, to players that aren't playing so well, I have a fan question for you here from Faubert Shane on Twitter. Any advice for Bobrovsky owners?
Bobrovsky's interesting, guys, because I took a look back at my top five goalie rankings, and there was no Sergei Bobrovsky in there. Now, you guys know my ideology on guys who sign big, fat contracts in year one. I really don't like them. I know Artemi Panarin's been a difference maker so far for the New York Rangers, but, like, I don't know the material, the data that the Florida Panthers had or anybody after Sergei Bobrovsky. This guy has not been elite in like a year and a half, almost close to 2 years now. Like, he is what he is at this point in time. He's going to have his strong starts, but he's going to have his bomb starts as well. And it's been a massive disappointment in Florida. Granted, I think you have to give him a bit of leash time and a little time to figure it out here. But I think, you know, and I frequently get this question too when it comes to Bobrovsky and Taylor Hall and PK Subban. What do I do? Well, these guys have little to no trade value right now, so I think the only option you can do, and again, it's dependent on league settings, just sit tight and hope for the best, because certainly I think in this era of goaltending, especially in fantasy hockey, the timeshare is so big. You have a guy like Bobrovsky who is definitively the number one guy if he can figure it out here, and who knows what Chris Driedger will do. I don't have much faith in that file either. But I think you have to sit tight right now on Sergei Bobrovsky to be truthful about it.
Another group of players that some people are considering dropping. We've gotten a lot of fan questions about Phil Kessel this week. Also Clayton Keller, who's on the cusp of dropping out of my top 100 forward rankings. Kessel's still in there as well based on pedigree, but how do you view the Coyotes? Are a really strong team in general, in reality, but fantasy-wise, outside of the goaltending, they've been disappointing, I think.
Yeah, they have, but I will add too, like, again, Phil Kessel's another guy who the resume speaks for itself, the pedigree, as you mentioned, speaks for itself, and I'm not ready to move on from Phil Kessel anytime soon. Like, I'll be honest, I drafted him in all four of my leagues. I'm going to hold on to him. I don't think he's got much value. I think the one important thing to stress is that he still fires puck after puck on net. Shots on goal are always fun when you have the benefit of having that stat, but I think it's inevitable. Like, Phil Kessel, the body of work is so extensive, guys, that there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to find his offensive, you know, mojo. Because, as we know, with the best goal scorers in this league, save for Alex Ovechkin, who with relative ease every year scores at will, you get really, really streaky. I mean, the perfect example is Patrick Laine last November, scores 18 goals, and we know the story for the rest of the get 12 goals for the rest of the month all season long. So, while we're talking right now about Phil Kessel and his struggles, he can easily go the next 2 weeks and score 10 goals. I mean, he's that type of scorer. So I don't think those grow on trees, especially in fantasy hockey, and especially if you need offense. Like, I'm holding on to him. When it comes to Clayton Keller, I'm probably ready to drop at this point in time. We really haven't seen the Clayton Keller who's dominating since the first half of his rookie season. And, you know, the sample size at this point in time is pretty large to suggest that maybe you move on from Keller. And down the road, if he catches fire and figures it out and becomes that point-per-game guy that we saw early on in his career, then maybe you go back to that file. But he's not producing anything, and he's not that type of guy that you have to keep on your roster.
And he's not even covering any categories. So there's
Exactly. Even
in a points-only league, he's not producing, so there's really no appeal there. Now, you've got the insider pulse on the Toronto Maple Leafs with Mitch Marner set to come back soon. Out of Kapanen, Janssen, Hyman, and Mikhaev, who's the guy that you want to own the rest of the season?
Well, this is a fascinating sort of development. And, of course, Sheldon Keefe comes in, so there's going to be some new ideologies. And, you know, it's sort of fascinating, too, because I felt from the beginning, so they put Hyman over to the right side. He was playing the left side with Marner on the right side. So automatically, I'm like, there's no way they're keeping, you know, Zach Hyman in the top six. And while Mitch Marner, it sounds like, is really, really close to returning here, at least in the next couple games. I don't think it'll be tonight against Philadelphia. But it sounds like Zach Hyman's going to be demoted, if you want to call it that. He's going to play where he should be playing in a lineup. I'll say that. And that is on the third line. So to answer your question, Ilya Mikheyev, it should be, and I think, you know, stress the should, but it makes a lot of sense, and certainly what they've been formulating in practice, that it's going to be Ilya Mikheyev with John Tavares and Mitch Marner as a line. So 5-on-5, to answer your question, it's probably the Russian who came over from the KHL, Ilya Mikheyev, who stands to boost big time from playing with not only John Tavares, but now with Mitch Marner. So certainly Zach Hyman had his limitations when it came to fantasy hockey to begin with, even given the exposure to the big boys. And now he's going to be less, you know, down sort of your radar at this point in time, because he'll be playing predominantly on a third line setting. Same for Kapanen. I think he's better suited to be a bottom six guy. I think he's proven already that he's more of a shoot-first guy, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to play with Matthews or Tavares. So I think he lands in the third or fourth line. Depth is what you want in this day and age, and I think Andreas Johnsson will continue to stick on the Matthews and Nylander line. So I would say the two biggest benefactors of the big four, if you will, for Toronto, no doubt Andreas Johnsson and Ilya Mikheyev at this point.
Good stuff, Nick. Outside of Toronto, give me a name of a guy that you're picking up this week in one or more of your leagues, or that you're advocating for others to pick up, because fresh off the Thanksgiving holiday, everybody's getting back to the waiver wire, trying to get their lineup in order right now.
Yeah, I would say like the biggest guy who sticks out is Jonas Donskoy, but again, we know Gabriel Landeskog, the captain of the Avalanche, is really, really close to returning. But I think from a DFS standpoint, and I know Colorado's next game is against Toronto Wednesday night, I think you have to hammer that McKinnon-Rantanen line for many reasons. I get they're playing the Maple Leafs. So the Maple Leafs are going to be on a back-to-back, and they got their Civ backup goalie, Michael Hutchinson, who I think, save for Louis Domingue, is probably the worst goalie in the league right now, and I'm just being fair about it. So the offense aplenty in that hockey game. And I think Donskoy, considering what he showed on Saturday night in that 7-3 win against Chicago, he's got to be the most logical guy that comes to mind. I think when you look at Colorado respectively, like Tyson Jost and JT Compher, their exposure to Nazem Kadri, and I just think the exposure to the big boys all around certainly helps. You know, I've been looking at even at Mika Zibanejad return and what that means for Pavel Buchnevich and Brendan Lemieux. We saw Lemieux pick up a point in that loss on Monday night. I think with Dylan Strome out of the lineup for Chicago, another guy to look at is Kirby Dach, the rookie for the Hawks, who's playing with the Brinkett and Patrick Kane. Like, you can find a lot of value if you search hard enough, and certainly with the injury concerns in many different places right now, I think you have to be cautious of that. And I'll add too, like, if you're looking for a goalie right now, a nice little tidy 6-0-3 run for the Minnesota Wild as we speak, and a lot of it's been because of Alex Stalock and not Devan Dubnyk, who, as we forget, out for personal reasons, and that continues. I don't believe he's going on this road trip. So if you're looking for a goalie, I think I'm going after Alex Stalock at this point in time as well.
I'm with you. I've bought fully into the Wild in DFS. Now, the Devils have been easily the most disappointing team in fantasy this season. With Taylor Hall's name now out there in the rumor mill with trades, what do you view his rest of season value as?
Yeah, so this has been the biggest topic of my fantasy stuff the last couple of days, is sort of the residual effects and also the effects of Taylor Hall in terms of fantasy hockey. You know, we could start there with certainly, as you mentioned, Taylor Hall and what that means for the ROS. Like, I just feel like he'll never admit this, but it has to be, you know, dawning on him, the contract year and all the pressure that comes with that, and then your team starts to play bad and everything's spiraling out of control. Like, going into last night, he had 4 goals on 85 shots, which is sort of astounding, and the numbers are not pretty. And Andrei Burakovsky, I'm sure, laughs at those percentages, but, like, he's got to figure it out eventually. Like, the pedigree has been there. I had somebody tweet me the other day and say that, you know, it was an Islanders fan, granted, and we all know my relationship with Islanders fans, but, like, he's trying to tell me that Taylor Hall isn't a prolific star. And I'm like, buddy, I don't know what you're up to, but, like, I just think he's a guy who's lacking confidence right now. I think he's really doubting his future. I think he's had in his mind for a long, long time that he's going to July 1, and it's just a really, really bad environment right now in New Jersey. I just don't think they're ready to fire their coach either, and I don't think things are going to improve. So when you look at Taylor Hall, you know, we know what he wants to do. He wants to go to a contender. He wants to win, and I think out west could be sort of a fit for him, maybe Calgary, maybe Edmonton if it, you know, they can figure out the cap situation. To me, Colorado makes the most sense, guys. And I don't know what happens. Like, they have the prospects. They have Bowen Byram. They have the picks. Like, everything makes sense. Like, if Colorado wants Taylor Hall, I think they can get Taylor Hall. And I just think exposure to that type of ilk of players, I think, is going to be massive for Taylor Hall. But as I always say, every deadline and every year with the big boys, just temper your expectations, because while it makes a lot of sense on paper, it's another thing to go into a locker room, especially in a really, really strong team, and flirt with the chemistry of said team. And that's why I think you have to limit the expectations. I always bring it up every year when I talk about the trade deadline, that more times than not, the data and the analysis from the last several years, I would say even the last decade, guys who are traded or big time names that are traded for, those teams never end up doing anything in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Look at Columbus, right? Like they made the second round, but they lost in six games to Boston. So just be careful what you wish for. And honestly, I wouldn't think it would, if Taylor Hall builds up enough value, I wouldn't be hesitant to trade him in fantasy hockey just because of the unknown of where he's going to go here down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think of Colorado, honestly, just because they have such a stacked offense to begin with. But if I'm a Taylor Hall owner and just hearing what you speculated, even if it's just nothing substantial at the moment, you hold on to Taylor Hall and you see how the cookie crumbles and you see if he could reach that level from 2 years ago when he lit the league on fire. And the Devils are actually playing second of a back-to-back with Vegas, who just played and beat the Rangers. So is this all Vegas for DFS? Are you drafting multiple players for this particular matchup?
Well, we gotta acknowledge that Nikita Gusev revenge first and foremost, right? Like, I think in DFS, you're ripping that for sure. But, New Jersey's finished, boys. Like, I don't think they're making the playoffs, and I think the teardown will begin at some point in time. And, you know, to go off that point, and maybe you guys will agree, like, I wonder about the residuals here of Taylor Hall, because that pretty much tells me that New Jersey's going to sell, and it makes a lot of sense to sell. What does that mean for Kyle Palmieri? Very valuable contract, a nice little hot commodity they have there, a year and a half left in his deal. Wayne Simmonds in fantasy hockey is on a one-year contract. You think they move on from him? Sammy Vatanen, who they've sort of been showcasing, in my opinion. I still don't get why PK Subban's not on PP1. That's beyond me. I just think Subban needs a new coach at this point in time. But I think across the board in New Jersey, there's a lot of fascinating fantasy stories to watch over the next couple months leading into the deadline for sure.
Give us your best Tuesday night bets.
Ooh, yeah, because you asked this last time, and I think I hammered it, right? Like, I think Toronto, like, you know, to stay in my market, I think Toronto wins in Philadelphia tonight. Frederik Andersen playing, and we know what's upcoming on Wednesday, and that's a showdown again with Nazem Kadri. You want to talk about DFS? I think I'm ripping Nazem Kadri tomorrow night because of the fact that he's returning to Toronto, and guys always score and pick up points on their returns. Look at Tyson Barrier early on this season, so I'll go with Toronto and Philadelphia, just looking sort of here. I don't think New Jersey is going to be Vegas as well. I think I would take the over in Minnesota and Florida. People seem to be gung-ho after one game on Chris Driedger. Let's not forget, this guy's 27. I can firmly tell you he's not Jordan Binnington either. So I think goals are plenty in that hockey. And I don't know about you guys. I always laugh because now everybody likes to bring up Jordan Binnington. It happened once in a billion years, but now we're always waiting for that next guy, no?
It's ridiculous, that, to be honest. Like, it's not going to happen again.
I know. And I'll add, too, Anders Nielsen. I don't know if he's playing tonight, but a little revenge factor there with the game in Vancouver.
I like it. And then the Capitals-Sharks is one game with a lot of offense. Sharks playing really well. Martin Jones, actually, third star of the week. We've been hard on him all year and past couple of years, but he's putting together nice peripherals lately. Which side do you like better for DFS, Sharks or Caps? Because that's really the nightcap, I think.
Yeah, and important to know, too, I don't know what they've said yet, but Nick Backstrom might return to that Capitals lineup. If it's not tonight, it's tomorrow against the LA Kings. It is the back-to-back, so we'll see both netminders. It's a really good question because San Jose has been hot. I still have my doubts about that offense, so I'm going to go with the Capitals winning that game, so I might stack the Caps, and I guess we'll see if Backstrom does come back. But Alex Ovechkin just continues to score 20 goals after 20 goals every season. He's insane, and I'll add, too, like, when you look at San Jose, I still think there's a bit of a buy-low window when it comes to Brent Burns in the back end. He's had a slow start. I've had people ask about him. This happens every year, especially with their defensemen. Carlson did it last year. Burns did it last year. I think, you know, the biggest piece of advice at this juncture in the fantasy season is it's a long season. I think people are too quick to make, you know, big-time decisions. For example, in one of my leagues, in my league with my buddies, somebody dropped Alex Radulov. It's a keeper league. So
wow.
I use my entire, you know, allotment of free agent money on bringing Radulov to Muzzytown, and I'm ecstatic about it. But I just think it's another perfect example of impatience and being agitated this time of year when your guys are not producing. I mentioned earlier, I own PK Subban, I own Phil Kessel, you know, on all four of my teams. Now, have I been crazy about the way these guys have been playing? No, they are making me crazy, but I think you just have to be careful because the light bulb will go on. You would have to think inevitably, and the second half, let's not forget, is when you want these guys to be hot when the playoffs come around the corner, no?
I agree with you, and honestly, I was about to drop PK yesterday for Neil Pionk, and for the life of me, Nick, I just couldn't press submit. I couldn't do it.
Don't do it.
My gut.
I wouldn't do it, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to. My gut certainly said to go with PK. Speaking of gut instincts, can Boston keep the streak going at home against Carolina this evening?
I think Carolina wins. I just, Boston has me skeptical for a variety of reasons. I just think you can't overlook how much hockey they played last year. Unless these guys are hitting, you know, I don't know what they're hitting, but the fact that, like, you can't keep going and going and going and just dominating. Like, I put this tweet out the other day that maybe they lose in the first round, just like a Tampa last year. But, the numbers are not in favor of Boston going far again after they went to the Stanley Cup final. It's really difficult. Granted, I get it. Pittsburgh repeated. But from tonight's point of view, I think eventually Boston has to lose at home. And Carolina's a really, really well-coached team. So I'm going to say Carolina wins in Boston tonight.
Last I saw, no regulation home losses for the Bruins. Yeah. That's pretty insane as we reach December. Nick, what's cooking on the podcast? Wanted to give you a little plug there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, you know, I've had a variety of different guests. This week's guest will be Linda Cohn, SportsCenter anchor.
Nice.
I'll touch base with her. She went to Oswego, of course, in the States and played hockey there. So we'll talk about her journey and her path in hockey. And women's hockey in general has come a long, long way, guys, as you know, in the last 20, 25 years. So I'll definitely talk some New York Rangers with her. She's a big-time Rangers fan, of course, living out on the West Coast now. So I'm really excited for that episode. And all in all, I mean, I had Daniel Negreanu, Kid Poker himself last week. Isaiah Mustafas dropped by. Ken Holland, like the list goes on and on. So it's been a lot of fun, and I encourage all to check it out wherever you get your podcasts, Unmuzzled with Nick Alberga.
Definitely listen and subscribe to that. A very good and easy listen, especially when work can be dragging. So, Nick, thank you, man, as always, for the valuable insight and awesome bets. We'll track those and tweet you if you hit it off again tonight.
Yeah, and don't tweet me if I don't hit them. And shout out to David Satriano, who I'm sure is a little dismayed right now with the play of his hockey team. But onwards and upwards we go. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. But yeah, I know you guys go way back. So we appreciate you coming on, Nick. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So Nick's best bet of the night, I think, is in line with yours, Robbie, with Toronto on the road against Philly. I don't feel comfortable betting against Philly when they're on home ice because they're a different team, in my opinion.
Well, it's funny. I was talking with Davey Satriano this morning about some bets tonight, and one of our buddies, Cam, too, who's a little bit of a gambler. And we were talking about Toronto just in the light that Philadelphia on their four-game winning streak, they haven't really beat anybody. They've been playing crappy teams. And, mm-hmm. you know, every year, and again, this is a broken record if you listen to the program, Philly wins four, they lose four, they win four, they lose four, they win four, they lose four. I mean, it's honestly mystifying. I don't know what's the deal in Philadelphia, but it happens year in and year out. So take Toronto tonight, tee them up, great value. They're actually favored, Toronto, because people sniffed this one out early, which makes me a little bit more skeptical. But JT's been playing so well. He's got three straight games with multi-points. You got to get Tavares, hammer the Leafs tonight.
You're right, Robbie. The Flyers open as -110. As of this morning, right now, Toronto now -119. So maybe the folks that make a living on betting on hockey, they went right to Toronto in that matchup.
And I'm a Freddie Anderson owner. I've been encouraged what I've seen. He almost got the shutout in the first game under Sheldon Keefe. Then he got the shutout for me against Detroit over the weekend. So the other one was broken up with like 15 seconds left. I was pretty pissed about that one, to be honest. But, yeah, I think Freddie Anderson is turning a corner and is really valuable. I'm glad I held on to him in two leagues.
Agreed, and especially with their backup goalie situation, he might be starting a ton the rest of the season. Now, a lot of good value tonight. Their Tampa Bay Lightning are at Nashville Predators tonight, and they are dogs. The Lightning are dogs against the Predators, who've been playing a little bit up and down. I do like the value there. I would definitely look at that pick if you're making a little, you know, central game parlay. I would definitely tie with the Lightning on that one.
Yeah, there's some good stacking options. One other note on Philly. I really like the way Sean Couturier is playing, and you could stack him with Jacob Voracek to go against the grain a little bit as that slight home underdog. But back to the Lightning, yeah, I think the way Kucherov and Point are playing lately is an indicator that this team will eventually get back into the playoff position. Right now, they're still currently out of it, which is shocking, but they're getting back in. Point's rising in the rankings. Kucherov's back in the top 10 where he belongs. I expect him to stay there for the rest of the season.
Another kind of funny note tonight, the New York Islanders are on the second of a back-to-back. They're facing the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens at home, minus 120. Home favorites, they've lost 8 in a row. I've actually got Carey Price in my DFS lineups, which I will say candidly suggests that I like the Habs in this game. Would I bet against Trotz? Probably not, but if you are looking for some little bit against the grain peel, I do like the Habs, even though they're favored at home.
Yeah, a bunch of streaks could come to an end here. We're talking about the Bruins, regulation home winning streak. Of course, the Habs are in an opposite streak, 0-5-3 in their past eight-game winless streak. Also, Minnesota goes to face Chris Driedger, the backup goalie who's hot right now for Florida. So all three of those streaks I could see coming to an end tonight.
The sky is falling in Montreal. The Montreal Canadian fans are going insane with this losing streak with the Canadiens, their favorite tonight over the Islanders. That smells fishy, and that makes me just want to take the Canadiens.
76% of bets are on the Islanders right now.
Do they deserve to be favorites in this game?
No.
No.
Absolutely
but
not.
But they are. So one of those lines where you're like, you know what? Someone knows something.
And let me just say one thing about this Montreal Canadiens team. I mean, the fact that Jonathan Drouin going out of the lineup is causing a tailspin, I mean, come on. Like, they need one player like that, a 50-point player, causing an 8-game skid. Come on.
Jonathan Drouin has gotten a lot better at even strength over the past two seasons after his first in Montreal, where he really fell off. But, yeah, he's not even close to an elite player, not even close. So when you see other teams out there like Pittsburgh, like Colorado, with multiple elite players missing significant time, it's a head scratcher for Montreal that they're falling off like this.
And not only winless in their last 8 games, but they are giving up 4-5 goals a night.
Lost to the Devils. They gave up like 4 or 5 goals to the Devils.
That says it all.
That says it all. You're 100% right. You're losing to the Devils and you're letting up 5 goals to the Devils. That's a problem.
And they just waived their backup, Keith Kincaid, yesterday and brought up a 20-year-old netminder, Primo. A nice American kid, actually, was a World Junior player for them, the American team, last year. So we'll see. The 20-year-old storyline for goalie normally works out for the Montreal Canadiens. I can think of a couple examples off the top of my head in recent history. So we'll see if that maybe gives Price a little boost. Like, hey, I've got this 20-year-old breathing down my back now. I got to come to the game tonight and shut him out. So that's why, again, I would take the Habs.
And I don't know if Carey Price should be shouldering all the blame here.
No.
I mean, he hasn't been good, but it's very difficult. He's probably the best player they have. In fact, he is the best player they have, right? Mm-hmm. But it's difficult when you're facing that many shots and that many quality chances. I mean, there's something fundamentally wrong with the team when you're letting up, in the course of 8 games, you're letting up 3, 4, 5 goals a game. It's not just the goalie.
Yeah, the defense is playing poor in front of him. He has an .898 save percentage in 22 games.
Wow.
You're talking about one of the highest paid goalies in the league, one of the best goalies in the league, hands down. So yeah, Primo, maybe, I guess they're going for like a Carter Hart type spark, but if the defense is playing like that and Carey Price can't stop pucks, I don't know if Primo can.
Now I wanted to ask you, Pete, the pulse on the Sharks. I know you stay up for a lot of their games. Washington -115 on the road. 70% of the bets are on the big bad Capitals. I have to break it to the gamblers out there, the Caps, on these California road trips, be wary. I know how good this team is, but they always are a little, they only play 20 minutes in these games. So stay tuned for the third period.
It's a little risky for the Sharks in this game because they could get their doors blown off. But also, I love the way like Logan Couture is playing. Erik Karlsson in my one weekly league has been racking up some points lately, so a couple of multi-points here and there. So I really like what I've seen from them. I mean, the Sharks, let's be honest, where they are now compared to November 1st, where we were down in the dumps about them, they can win the division the way that they're playing lately. If Edmonton comes back down, who's going to take it? Is it Arizona with no offense? Is it Vegas up and down? I think it might be the Sharks. So we flip-flopped on them a little bit, but they deserve some crazy praise right now.
Pete, on the Sharks, very clear they've turned it around. Little nugget from my boy Kevin Kurtz, who covers the San Jose Sharks. Mm-hmm. They went from 33-1 odds to win the Stanley Cup on November 1st. They are now 16-1
wow.
to win the Stanley Cup. So that says all you need to know about the Sharks and how they've turned it around. This board tonight is so much better than Monday's board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're throwing teams out there. There's a lot that I like on the board, and Nick Alberga brought up the Boston Bruins potentially losing their first game at home in regulation. And I love the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. I'm completely on board with Nick Alberga. Very similar to the Islanders going to Anaheim mm-hmm. and losing that game against the Ducks. It's so difficult to win night in and night out and night in and night out. Now, listen, it's tough to also jump in front of that Boston Bruins train, but Carolina is a good team, and I think they go in there and win tonight. I'll take the value at plus 135.
It would be an egregious error if I were not to point out two things here. Number one, the goalie for the Hurricanes is Peter Mrazek. He's playing around an 888 save percentage. Horrible. And number two, the goalie for the San Jose Sharks is Martin Jones. I mean, this guy, I don't have to say anything. Everyone knows now. So just be careful when you're throwing your cash around on teams with goalies like that. If they get down in a 2-0, 3-0 hole, it could get ugly.
Now, I don't love the Sharks tonight. I agree with you. The Capitals have been skittish when they go on these road trips, and they do that country club scenario where they only play the one period. And a lot of times they find a way to win the game. But I like Carolina. I'm with Alberg on that. I like Carolina more than I like the Sharks going against the heavy hitters of the Capitals.
I think Boston, the thing that scares me about betting against them, I know that all streaks come to an end, but like Jake DeBrusk scoring right now, he's had a couple of multi-point games. Look at his past five games, and you're inclined to, like I was, to put him in the top 100 forwards, to pick him up in fantasy and season-long leagues. And if Jake DeBrusk is getting going on a separate line from David Krejci, once he gets back to Krejci, playing on power play one could be dangerous. So that's just a little err on the side of caution. I probably wouldn't bet on that game.
And I'm with you. I think Boston does have another gear that they can obtain this season. And I just think it's not that Carolina's not a good team. They are. They're a great team. But you have to, if you don't watch hockey night in and night out, you just have to be aware that Carolina doesn't have a good goalie, and neither does the San Jose Sharks.
Very fair point. Moving forward, some DFS. Let's ping pong some players around. Who are you looking at on the board tonight that you will have in your DFS lineups?
Well, I'm definitely looking at whether or not Nicklas Backstrom plays, because then I'm going to decide whether or not to roster him. If he does play, I have him with Vrana likely to play together. Safe bet. I think that the Capitals could score 4 or 5 goals in that game for sure. One game we didn't talk about, but I like the stack, Pettersson, Besser. They could break a slate any given night. I was able to fit the two of them in at home against Ottawa. I have Kevin Fiala, who we mentioned has 13 points in his past 14 games in Minnesota. He's the hot hand right now, but he has multiple 8-shot games over the past week or so. So he's bringing the shot volume. He gets you 8 shots. It doesn't matter if he scores. He's going to return value. I got DeBrusk. I got Torrey Krug against the Hurricanes, that little stack. Quinn Hughes to round out my Canucks, heavy hitter. And then my fun goalie pick, I'm just going Chris Driedger. He deserves the second start after a 27-save shutout in the last game, first career start. And I think that he can light a fire under the Florida Panthers a little bit here. So I have him at home against the Minnesota Wild.
My complete DFS lineup, John Tavares, J.G. Pageau, Pat Laine, Kevin Fiala, T.J. Oshie, Joel Armia, Seth Jones, Jared Spurgeon, and Carey C.P. Price.
Joel Armia has another one, like Fiala has been racking up shots on goal lately, so he's high floor for sure.
Okay, fellas, I know we bantered about a little bit. Let's cut to the chase. Let's get right to it. Best bets for a Tuesday. We start with Peter.
I got a couple here. I got the
Is this one of the times where you give out 10 picks?
No, I'll give 3. I got Tampa Bay as slight road underdogs against Nashville. I like the way Tampa's playing. I think they could rock their world in this game. I will go against what Nick and Robbie were saying. I'll take the Flyers at home as slight underdogs against Toronto. And then if I'm going Chris Driedger, I'll go Florida to snap Minnesota's 9-game point streak.
And an additional thing on Toronto here, just pay attention because with Mitch Marner set to come back, I think he'll play Wednesday against the Avs. I don't think he's going to want to miss that game. So not only are they going to win in Philadelphia on Tuesday, they're going to beat the Avs on Wednesday if Mitch Marner comes back to the lineup. This team is going to get hot, and they're going to go on a roll. Watch out, Atlantic Division. Now, other value on the slate, obviously Toronto is my lock of the night. I already brought up Tampa Bay earlier. It's just good value. You shouldn't shy away from that one. You'd be crazy not to hit that play. I will say, too, another game to watch out for, Arizona, Columbus at home. They're playing Columbus, -115. Arizona, the underdog. I don't know. I mean, if I were a betting man, I would consider maybe a little Arizona-Tampa Bay Lightning parlay just to get the value. And one more pick to look at, the Winnipeg Jets are home dogs against the Stars. Obviously, the Stars have been playing better, but Winnipeg can score at ease, and Connor Hellebuyck should be in the Vezina Trophy finalist conversation this year. So I really would look at Winnipeg there with a little against-the-grain appeal if you like betting in the Central Division.
Okay, Mr. Montreal, so no Canadiens tonight.
I wouldn't bet that just because, I mean, this team is really in shambles.
They're reeling right
now.
The
media is all over them. The locker room, I don't even want to know what's going on in there. So I wouldn't say bet that.
You would lean that way, though.
But I'm leaning that way. My only lock tonight is Toronto.
Fair enough. As far as my lock, listen, I'm going to follow piggyback Alberga. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope Boston at some point comes out flat against a well-coached team.
That's a good pick.
Mrazek does scare me in net, and with the firepower of Boston, this game could be 4-1 Boston in the third period. But you know what? All streaks come to an end, and maybe tonight Carolina, Rod Brendamore's team, goes into TD Garden and gets the win.
I can see it for sure. Rod is a great coach, underrated. And hey, you know what? If they start raffling off wins, beat good teams, he could be in the Jack Adams conversation too.
Well, according to our friend Brett Amadon, he's the best coach in the National Hockey League. Shout out to Brett, who, by the way, I mean, can you show up and do a program once in a while, Brett? I mean, I know you work nights, but let's go.
I know we've been leaving voicemail after voicemail. No nothing from this guy. He's big timing us, but hopefully we get him and his outlandish takes back on soon.
Hey, Varley's been playing well, though. I'm glad I took it as his advice and have him in two of my leagues, so... We'll see. We'll see if it continues, but I know he's hyped that Thomas Greiss might not be a timeshare all season. We'll see. Greiss is coming back on Tuesday against Montreal.
Anywho, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese. Pete's at NHL Jensen. Bobby's at NHL Aircheck JK. Minus the NHL, they're just Airchecked.
Robbie, quick Robbie. He's got to get to the diner.
Get
the Florentine omelet. It's part of our deal. Since we agreed on the Florentine omelet, Rob's picks have been much better, by the way. So I'm glad I made that deal. We're getting the real Rob, not the Rob that's lost at sea. We're getting the Rob that has
Wilson.
Yeah, he's got a chartered boat. He knows where he's going. So it's good that Florentine omelet is a difference maker. Wrap it up, Peter.
All right, so we got another show coming your way on Thursday. Reminder to check out some of the other shows in the podcast network. Puck Culture with Jackie Redman. At the Rink with Dan Rose and Sean Rourke. You know the rest. So for Bender, Reese, Jensen, thanks for listening, guys.